Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
As mentioned, big game on the NBA board tonight. Lakers leading the Bucks 63-57 at halftime. 17 for LeBron James, including three threes. Tony, he doesn't, by the way, ever shoot a three-pointer when his feet are anywhere near the three-point line.
No,
you notice that? He shoots like eight-pointers. It's uncanny how far out LeBron shoots his threes. I don't know. Maybe Curry does the same thing, but seems to me LeBron James never cozies right up to the three-point line when he lets one go.
No, neither of those two guys. Steph, I don't know when's the last time I've seen Steph shoot a regular three-pointer. It's usually at least 4 or 5 feet behind the line, but this is – LeBron's shooting as good as he's ever shot from three-point land this year, at least I think in quite some time. So yeah. At this point, and it makes sense, right? As he gets older, I know we look at him as indestructible, but Father Time is working its way. We just can't see it yet with him, but there's a reason why his game is starting to evolve into a more of a jump shooting, back down type game. It's less wear and tear on his body, especially when you consider this game is – This season started with such a short offseason. This is a way to kind of save your legs, is taking more jump shots, and he's doing it at a very accurate clip right now.
I would think that defenses play him and say, go ahead and take it, even though they know he can make it, because he just does so much more damage to teams by driving to the hoop. I mean, he fouls out the entire team. He scores without the clock moving. He sets up other guys for three-pointers. I mean, with all due respect to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, is that his name, by the way?
Yes.
I get it?
KCP.
With all due respect to him, when is the last time he created his own wide-open three-point shot? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He's a good player. He's a great shooter. But all he basically has to do is run down the floor and pick a spot on the floor to stand there. And then everybody goes and guards LeBron or Antonio Davis, and then they pass it to him, and he shoots an open three. And
this is why
credit him for making it, but it's all because of LeBron, really, that he gets the stuff he gets, isn't it?
This is why the smart ones have always signed up to play with LeBron. You know you're going to get the easiest shots you've ever gotten in your career playing with LeBron.
Right.
And he's a more than willing passer. So it's not like there are going to be very many opportunities where you're standing out there all alone and you don't get the ball. Like if you're open, he finds you, and it's just up to you to make it. And this year, especially KCP, you brought him up yesterday too, he's shooting an unbelievable percentage from three-point land this year.
Yeah, at least right now. I know it's early. 50%.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a good guy to pass it to.
Indeed, and if you're making it that clip, there's a good chance you might get the ball when you're not open with LeBron. He's just going to trust you that much more.
They might actually want to start sticking to him and guarding him a little bit. I mean, it used to kind
he's
of
three of four,
me.
By the way, today,
right.
After the first half.
It used to amaze me how often other teams left John Paxson wide open.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you do, he's going to make it. So I know you have to double down on Jordan, but you don't always have to leave Paxson, right?
Wait, I'm sorry. I have to mention this because during the break, Scraby mentioned the memes that are going around of Bernie Sanders. I'm watching the Laker game right now.
Classic.
And they're at halftime. And that Bernie Sanders picture, he's sitting in the studio with the guys on the Lakers.
Adam Jones.
Bernie Sanders meme is really making the rounds. It's
Adam Jones
funny.
Is having the most fun of his life right now posting Bernie Sanders memes. I really think you should go look at his social media accounts because they're amazing. Like one of them is of him trying to make that huge catch in the USA game, but the ball is just Bernie Sanders. It's amazing.
It's really funny. Well, the one thing that's not funny for the Bucks in this game is, like we said, Antetokounmpo, 7 turnovers in the first half. That's disgustingly bad for any player, let alone the 2-time MVP of the league. So we'll keep an eye on the second half. Lakers lead by 6 at halftime. But it is a time where we get into the happy hour of the program, have a little fun. The guys get a little competitive here. We call this one Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show, and away we go.
Hey, all you beautiful people out there, it's time to play one of our favorite games of the week.
All right!
We like to call it...
Ooh, I'm gonna go...
Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show! And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm getting my title back today.
What'd you say?
Getting my title back today. Scraby won last time.
Oh, Scraby won the last one?
Yes, we're going to end this one-game winning streak right
These
now.
These guys get very competitive in this game, but the fun part for you out there is that you can play along yourself in your car on your way home or wherever you might be and see if you can outguess these guys. It's not easy to do. It's easier said than done. And I will say that this particular category tonight is going to be one of those that I think you guys would do well on. But I think if you're at home or, like I said, you're driving somewhere, you're going to say, I could get all of these just off the top of my head real easy. But it gets more difficult as the game goes along. And you'll see what I mean. There are 13 correct answers to the category today. 13. So by my math skills, I have determined that the first guy to 7 is going to win.
Okay.
If you guess wrong, you get a strike. I don't think you guys are going to guess wrong very often.
Okay.
The question is are you going to be able to, you know, off the top of your head come up with all 13 right answers? That's the tough part of this one, I think, tonight. And I don't know if I can delay any more on giving you the category, so I won't. The category is name the 13 NFL teams that have won multiple Super Bowl championships.
Oh, wow. Okay. Easy.
Yeah. Easy, says Scraby. So we'll
Scraby
see how you do.
A failure.
13 teams have won multiple Super Bowls. Tony, you get the same number of points. There's no more for the team winning more Super Bowls. Just name any of the 13 squads that have won multiple Super Bowls. You go first.
Niners.
Why did you take my team?
Yeah, well, that was smart strategy there because that's an easy one for you.
Why you got to take my team?
Taking that away from you. The 49ers have won 5 Super Bowls.
Lost 2 recently.
Lost 2. But that is a correct answer without question, the Niners. And Tony gets on the board. Now, Mr. Scraby, you pick a team with multiple Super Bowl wins.
Immediately just wrote down all the teams that I know of. So I'm going to start at the top. And the record holders. Or the tied for the record holder. Patriots.
Patriots have won 6. Do you know how many they've lost?
4?
They've lost 5.
They lost 5. They lost 1 to the
Bears. They actually lost 1 before the GOAT got there. I think they won, actually lost a couple before the GOAT got
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they lost that one in 85.
To the Bears. And they lost another one, I think, before the GOAT got there, and I can't remember.
Oh, was it the Drew Bledsoe year?
They lost. Yeah. They lost with Drew Bledsoe to the Packers.
Yeah.
All right, so yes, that's correct. Patriots have won 6 total. Tony, you're up.
Packers.
Packers, they've won 4. 4-1.
Oh, I thought they only won 3, but that's shocking.
They won the first 2. And then they won that one we just talked about over the Patriots, and they also won one with Aaron Rodgers over Ben Roethlisberger. So 4 for the Packers. Tony takes a 2-1 lead. Scraby, you're up.
Steelers.
Steelers have won 6. They've only lost 2. And our match is tied 2-2. Tony, you're up.
The Raiders.
Two teams that have won more than 2 or more Super Bowls. The Raiders have won 3. That's correct. The Las Vegas Raiders beating the Vikings in the 70s, beating the Eagles to kick off the 80s, and also beating the Washington football team in the 80s. It's been a long time for the Raiders, but they do have three, so Tony takes a 3-2 lead. Okay, Scraby, you're up.
Cowboys.
Cowboys have won 5. That is correct. You guys are doing a nice job. It's 3-3. Cowboys are 5-3 all time in the Super Bowl. Tony, you in a 3-3 tie. This maybe this category is just too easy. Maybe you guys are just race right.
Oh, we're gonna hit a wall at some point.
Let's see. Tony, you're up.
Broncos.
Broncos.
That's a good one.
Correct. They have won 3 Super Bowls. They've lost 5, but they've won 3. So that's good. 2 of them with John Elway back to back in 1997 and 98. And then they won again a few years ago with Peyton Manning at the helm in 2015. All right, so it's Tony 4, Scraby 3, and Scraby, you're up.
I am going to go with the New York Giants.
New York football Giants. Eli Manning won 2 of those over the Patriots. But total, the Giants have 4 Super Bowl wins in their illustrious history, or somewhat illustrious history. One of them was with Phil Simms at quarterback. The other was with Jeff Hostetler at the helm.
Oh, that guy.
Super Bowl 25. So that is correct. And it is 4-4. There are 5 correct answers left. I will say this. The category is teams that have won 2 or more. You guys have named all of the teams except 1 that have won 3 or more. And then there are 4 teams left that have won exactly 2.
There's a 3-time winner left, huh?
There's a 3-time winner left, and then the rest are 2-time winners. Tony, you're up. In a 4-4 game, teams to win multiple Super Bowls.
Give me WTF.
WTF. That I think you mean WFT.
Yes.
WFT. I was going to repeat what WTF stands for, but I don't think I will.
No.
What the?
It was WTF. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
WFT. That's correct. The Washington football team does have 3 Super Bowl wins. So it's interesting. You guys have named all 9 teams that have won 3 or more, but there are still 4 correct answers left, all of whom have won 2 Super Bowl championships.
I have 12 teams written down.
Scraby, you got you're down 5-4. So you go ahead and name one here.
I am going to say, even though I hate them, the Seahawks.
The Seahawks. Give yourself a buzzer for that one, my
No
friend.
Way.
That'll be a strike.
They got beat. Remember, they didn't give the ball to Marshawn.
Give yourself a buzzer. I didn't hear the buzzer.
I don't want to.
I'd like to
hear
it.
Go ahead and give it to him. We like
to hear
it, please.
That buzzer.
There
that was the quietest
buzzer.
Well,
because I have the music and the buzzer on the same thing. So.
A wimpy buzzer.
I can't believe I screwed that one up.
Seahawks have won 1 Super Bowl. They have lost 2.
My gosh.
One of them was the Marshawn Lynch game, of course. The one they won was over Peyton Manning the year before that. And their other loss was to the Pittsburgh Steelers back in 2006, something like that.
That's ridiculous.
With Matt Hasselbeck at the helm. All right, Tony, that's a break for you. You lead 5-4, and it's your turn with 4 correct answers still left.
How about the Vikings?
The Vikings. I have a feeling you're going to get a louder buzzer for this one.
Ah, dang it.
I was thinking Vikings. But
what is with the wimpy buzzer?
I told
today?
You the music is on the same one as the buzzer. Hold on, let me get the buzzer. Let me get the music into the thing.
No, that's okay.
No, I want to give Tony the buzzer he deserves.
You want to give him the buzzer?
You can give yourself the buzzer you deserve.
Okay,
too,
fine. I'll
jerk.
Even make it loud too.
Oh my goodness! The Vikings have won 0 Super Bowls. They have lost 4.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
So they have never won one. The last time they were in the Super Bowl was 1976, so it's been 30-some-odd years since they've even, or 40-some-odd years since they've even been to a Super Bowl. They never won one. All right, so that gets you back in the game, Scraby. It's 5-4, Tony. Still 4 correct answers left. Scraby, you're up.
All right, so I've been holding this one until
I have won multiple Super Bowls.
Yes, I've been holding this one until I didn't know anymore, but I believe the Ravens have won too.
You do? God, I'd love to give you a buzzer for that, but it's correct. The Ravens have won too. Yes, they beat the New York Football Giants back in 2000.
Yeah.
And then you remember the game they beat the 49ers.
Sure do. Fade to the end zone to Crabtree. Didn't give it to Frank Gore. Thank you, Jim Harbaugh.
The Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah, it was.
All right, it's getting more difficult. We're down to three correct answers left. The score is tied 5-5, and you both have one strike. There are three teams left. There are people in their cars going, come on! There's three teams left with two Super Bowl championships. Who are they? Tony Gwynn Jr., you're up.
The Bears. The Bears.
That's going to get you the buzzer.
Yes!
No!
Yes, I knew it, because they lost that Rex Grossman one.
The Bears have only been to two Super Bowls, despite a lot of their greatness prior to the Super Bowl era. They obviously won in 1985 when they were the Bears, but they lost their other visit. And so they are 1-1. And Tony has two strikes. It's still tied at five, but you got to come up with these other three winners. Scraby, what do you got?
It's hilarious to me that now I'm blanking on everybody, but I know the Chiefs won last year, obviously. I'm just hoping that they won one of the first two, and I don't think they did, but I got to say the Chiefs.
You're saying the Chiefs. Is that your official answer?
Yeah.
Your final answer?
Yeah.
Well, they did not win one of the first two Super Bowls because the Packers won the first two Super Bowls. But the Chiefs did win Super Bowl IV.
Oh! Oh!
Over the Minnesota Vikings.
What?
And that, along with last year's victory, gives them two.
What?
So you're correct.
What?
You got it.
Yes!
So it's 6-5. Tony, there are two correct answers left. You got to come up with one of them here to keep the heat on.
Give me the Colts.
The Colts is a hell of a guess.
Yes, it is. It's on my list.
Peyton Manning won one Super Bowl. But so did a broken down old Johnny Unitas in Super Bowl V. And so the Colts is correct.
Oh, my gosh. It comes down to this.
There's only one correct answer left. Teams that have won multiple Super Bowls. And it is Scraby's turn in a 6-6 tie. This has turned into a thrilling, fantabulous game show tonight between the two competitors. Scraby,
all right,
you got to come up with the final team to win two Super Bowls.
I don't know that I can, to be honest.
I don't know that I can.
Saints have only won one, I believe. You know what? I don't know why I think this. I don't know why I think this, but I know Dan Marino didn't win a Super Bowl. Did the Dolphins win two before he got there?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
The Miami Dolphins. Do you know how mad I am at you two guys right now?
I knew this was going to be my last guess, too, by the way.
Was I win?
The Miami Dolphins went back-to-back, 1972 and 73.
Don't call it a comeback, baby! Don't call it a comeback!
It wasn't a comeback. You were tied pretty much the whole time.
It totally was! I overtook you at one point.
No, you were ahead 6-5, then it was 6-6, then you won 7-6. It's gravy.
Even the sun shines on the dogs, you know what.
No one
knows what
to say. I
can't believe you guys saved the Dolphins for the last one.
Well, I wasn't sure, to be honest.
You're working with the biggest Dolphin fan in the history of sports.
Yeah, but let's be honest. The Dolphins haven't been the greatest franchise, so.
Yes, but I thought most people knew that after their Super Bowl or undefeated season, they came right back and won the Super Bowl the next year. So.
All right. We have to go to break.
We will. Scraby is the champion in our Super Bowl. Chris's most fantabulous sports game show.
He only wins because we're not there in person. That's the only reason why he's winning.
I know, that's right. Once we get back in studio, his winning will come to an end. Let's jump out and take a look at traffic with Kelly Danick on the Valley View Casino Hotel and Casino Traffic Center.
6:25 on the clock. hope our lovely listeners forgive me for butchering the initials of the Washington football team. If you listen to our show, you also understand that I have had a difficult time changing my vocabulary when it came to the Washington football team. I have repeatedly called them by the offensive mascot that they have moved away from. And to be honest, as we were doing that list, I jotted down WTF. And I was just so excited that I remembered to stay away from the mascot name.
Yeah.
And so you guys, if you guys could have seen my face on this Zoom, it was like I lit up like a light bulb because I was like, ha-ha, these guys aren't going to be able to put I'm not going to have to put any money in the jar here this time.
Yeah, you were basically paying Scraby's rent by saying that offensive nickname.
And Jeff Goff.
And putting money in the jar.
That's right. Jeff Goff took a hit during those times. So I was just so excited. So I can imagine anybody who heard WTF as a football team probably got a good laugh out of that. I'm happy I could.
I mean, I'm so stupid. I was like, yeah, good one. Good answer.
You didn't even notice it.
I didn't. I thought it sounded funny, but I didn't put two and two together.
Well, I'm proud of you guys. You guys got all 13 teams that have won multiple Super Bowls, so that was pretty well done. I forget that you two guys have not been alive during the entire Super Bowl era.
Yeah.
And I have. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. So I you know, I know it's terrible.
What was Super Bowl I like? And I'm not joking when I
didn't.
That.
I wasn't old enough to really watch it. I just was alive.
Oh, I thought you were like 20.
I was only 20. Yeah, I was busy studying for my college entrance exams.
We haven't played this in a while.
Yeah. The one thing I can tell you about Super Bowl I. It was Green Bay versus Kansas City, of course, which we talked about yesterday, the fact that that could come back again here this year. But the interesting thing about Super Bowl I was that both CBS and NBC carried the game with separate broadcasts.
At the same time.
Same time. Separate guys. Like, I think Kurt Gowdy, I think, was the voice of it on NBC, and I think Jack Buck was the voice of it on CBS. Or I could have some of those wrong. Somebody could correct me if they want. But I know there were two totally separate telecasts. You could watch the game on CBS or NBC because in those days, it was they didn't even call it the Super Bowl the first year. They called it the AFL-NFL Championship game. And the Chiefs were the AFL champs, and they were on NBC. And the Packers, of course, were the NFL champs, and they were on CBS. So both networks just carried the game. So that was one interesting note about the first Super Bowl.
So it's kind of like Nickelodeon.
Could you imagine the NFL trying to get away with that now with CBS NBC? Hey, we want both of you guys to run this game at the same time.
And we'll give you half the money. How's that?
Right.
I did find it funny that since CBS is an AFC squad, Jim Nance and Tony Romo called the game between the Saints and the Bears in the playoffs, which was a little weird to me because
they've been mixing that up the last
They have. Years. I've been noticing that too. That's like part of my favorite thing to do during the season is, especially once you get into the playoffs, is try to guess who's going to pick up what game because there are clear NFC teams that are on Fox and there are clear AFC teams that are on CBS.
Yeah.
And the playoffs, they start mixing it up on you.
Yeah, they do. It's definitely weird, and there's really no rhyme or reason to it. I don't know how they figure out exactly who gets to carry what, and then, of course, you got the games on Sunday Night Football on NBC.
Right.
You got to put a couple of games on ESPN. You got to throw a game on Nickelodeon. Is the Super Nickelodeon?
No, they only did it one time, but that was a great
That
experiment.
Got a lot of good reviews, it did. By
oh,
the
you
way.
Were here that
did.
Week,
we were
you?
Talking about it while you were gone, Tony.
Yeah.
I mean, baseball ought to be jumping on that quick.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I was
baseball
into that.
Needs some young fans, and that's exactly what that was. I mean, it they was need such some, a not brilliant only they, idea.
Not only did they need some young fans, they need some young fans to actually, like, be locked in. And
right. Young fans get locked in, and there's somebody there kind of teaching them the rules of the game as the game's
exactly.
going on. I mean, it's
exactly.
fun for them to watch.
I actually thought NFL did a terrific job with that. They really did.
Yeah. I mean, I was like I'm not going to watch that. That's silly. But then again, I mean, I'm not thinking along the lines of having a couple of young kids. And, you know, that's just it's a brilliant move. All right, Scraby, you had something you wanted us to talk about. You're going to have to wait till the next segment, though.
Okay, it's juicy.
It is?
It's juicy. Okay. Let me just say that the name and the baseball player, Curt Schilling, is involved in this.
Yeah. I'm interested.
He didn't do anything, though.
That definitely leads to some sort of conversation, though, with Curt Schilling involved. Yeah.
It usually does. Yeah. Let's get to break. When we come back, if you missed our interview with Bryce Miller, we'll have that for you. Plus, whatever subject that's involving Curt Schilling, we'll also find that out from Scraby. This is Gwen and Chris Sandiego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
6:36 the time. Welcome you back. Our final segment for a Thursday evening, Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony, you got an update on the Lakers score against the Bucks into three quarters?
86-81, Lakers are up. They have looked pretty impressive today against this Bucks team.
KCP, 6-for-7 from the arc in this game.
That is ridiculous.
I mentioned, you might want to run over and stay near him, even when LeBron is driving to the basket, because he's hot. Lakers are still shooting about 50% from the arc, and that's why they're winning the game. I will say this for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Congratulations, Giannis. No turnovers in the third quarter.
Yeah.
After a debacle, 7 turnovers in the first half.
Yeah, but those still lead. He's been a little bit more careful with the basketball.
I guess he might be, yeah. Coach might have pointed that out to him. All right, Scraby, what is the salacious material involving Curt Schilling that you want us to talk about here?
Well, he's on the ballot to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and this is according
to... By the way, before you finish, when are they announcing who made the Hall of Fame? Don't they normally announce it about now?
I'm waiting for Tony to answer.
Everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy. I thought they announced it around this time.
I feel like they will be doing it here shortly.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
It's going to be a double class if they have enough. If they actually have the ceremony, because remember last year's was canceled.
Yes.
Derek Jeter's supposed to go in.
This is
going to have both classes. This last year's class and this year's class. Should they have the actual ceremony,
I believe,
right? Or should they have people who make it this year? Right? Isn't there some question as to whether or not anybody will even quite make it?
It is got to be a tough one.
It says January 26th looks like to be the day for the announcement.
Okay, so next Tuesday they'll announce. Yeah. All right. Anyway, go ahead, Scraby.
This is from at Matt Spiegel 670. He's a Radio.com sports host in Chicago. So there's some context. He said, source, numerous National Baseball Hall of Fame voters have reached out to the Hall hoping to amend their ballots, removing their votes for Curt Schilling after he supported the seditious acts in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago. Hall of Fame officials are concerned about the precedent this could set.
Don't do it.
Would you like us to comment on the fact that they may have done this?
They won't be doing it. John Heyman tweeted out about an hour ago. He says I have heard there are a small number, a couple, a few at most, who wondered if they could erase their yes votes for Schilling. They were told no. After the submission deadline of December 31st, vote changing is not allowed. And I agree with this. I wasn't a big fan of Donald Trump, but that doesn't have anything to do with Curt Schilling and what he did as a baseball player. And I'm not a big fan of Curt Schilling, but he was a terrific pitcher and certainly deserves a shot to go into the Hall of Fame. He wasn't connected to any cheating, as far as I know, and was really good in his time as a pitcher. Now, if you want to argue on the merits of his numbers, okay, fine. But I just think if you look at the Hall of Fame, there are plenty of bad characters in there that are Hall of Famers. So I don't think Curt Schilling shouldn't be penalized. It shouldn't be penalized for something that had to do outside of baseball. And by the way, he was long retired when he went down this route. So
yeah, I think you can easily disagree with Kurt Schilling's sentiments. Many of us do. Most of us probably do. But you know, as long as you stay out of the cheating realm, and I think you got to be a decent human being. I think that would help. And I think that goes into the vote from time to time. You cannot tell me that Hall of Fame voters in any sport can't just 100% compartmentalize a guy's statistics and not think at all about the relationship that they may or may not have had with the person and what kind of person that the guy was. I mean, that's going to go into your thinking when you sit down and decide whether to mark your ballot for a guy. So, Kurt Schilling was a bit of a controversial figure, I'll say that at the very least. And I bet you some people held that against him to begin with.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, that has been the knock on the Hall of Fame voting, if there was one, is that too many personal feelings get put into it, and it's not about the merits of the numbers on the field. And
this guy once turned me down for an interview. No way I'm voting him in.
Right. That's part of the reason why Mr. Rice took so long to get into the Hall of Fame. Wasn't the nicest guy according to the media members, and they held that over his head. And I don't think that's right, personally. If you were going to start the Hall of Fame from the very beginning and you wanted to set that rule that you needed to be a good human, cool. Then everybody's playing by the same rules.
Right.
That is not the case here. It just isn't.
I have some comments here that were posted on there that make some great points, because Kurt Schilling's not been shy about his stances on politics or anything like that.
He's not shy about anything.
For years. And it's kind of a trend with these people now who it's all of a sudden not cool if you were supporting Donald Trump.
Right.
To now it's cool to denounce Donald Trump. And these people are like, well, these voters voted knowing that he had these feelings about politics.
Right.
So what
right.
changed? Is it now you're cool because you want to say that you stood against Kurt Schilling?
It's a little rich for me. I mean, those same voters knew all of this about Kurt prior to their vote. They voted the way they did. And quite honestly, it doesn't really matter, honestly, to me. It should be solely
about
what he did.
Grandstanding move by some
field.
Of these voters. It honestly
exactly.
is. It's like, I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to look like I'm better than everybody because Kurt Schilling said something about something that most of us feel pretty strongly about. So I'm going to change my vote and it's going to make me look good. I'm glad the Baseball Hall of Fame told him to take a hike on this one. If you voted for Kurt Schilling, then he gets your vote and that's the way it is. Let's check traffic. Before we get to our interview of the day with Bryce Miller, and we check it in the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center. All right, to properly put the beginning of our interview with Bryce Miller in perspective, he caught up with Bob Chandler, the former great one of the voices of Padre baseball, and here's what Bryce Miller had to say about talking to Bob Chandler.
Yeah, I just thought, we've talked so much about the Padres and all the additions, since the last trade deadline all the way through this offseason with the pitching and everything else, and tried to get somebody with a little broader view of all of this who's lived through literally every season at a pretty close range and try to understand what he thought of it. And, he talked about some interesting things, but one of which was, he comparing Tatis to Hall of Famer Robbie Alomar and walked through his reasoning there and some other things and, saying the Padres may have never had a 1-2 pitching punch like this, but they've definitely never had a 1-2-3 like this as it's lining up now pending, health and all those things. So I just wanted to check in with somebody who's really known this organization since day one and see what his perspectives were.
Well, that would be definitely the guy to go to get some perspectives. And I think you wrote, Bryce Miller, San Diego Union Tribune with us here, 97.3 The Fan. I think you wrote in your article that collectively he averaged, when he called games, 101 losses. Is that true? Am I reading that correctly or remembering that correctly?
Well, there was a stretch early on for way more years than he's probably comfortable counting. Not his entire time, of course, because he was also involved in 1984 and 1998. But, for a very lengthy and uncomfortable stretch at the beginning, I think the first, I don't know how many seasons, 6 to 7, they were averaging like 101 losses. And so that's part of his perspective too, for sure.
I mean, Bob's been away from the organization for a little bit now. What does he make of how the Padres have finally gotten to this point? I know it's easy to focus on the now and what's ahead of us, but there was some work that had to be done before that. What were his thoughts on that?
Yeah, he was, like a lot of us, interested in the pivot that the organization did when A.J. Preller arrived. You start with Matt Kemp and, you know, that whole group, James Shields and Upton and Derek Norris and that some of that initial group, and shortly thereafter, Will Myers and, that big push at the beginning, and then pivoting to this patient, long-term, build your international assets, build your farm system approach that really tested the patience of fans. And organizationally, they know they tested the fans, but that patience really has paid off. And so he was impressed about that pivot and their kind of reshaping of what the organization would look like in a completely different way.
Bryce Miller with us. We do a segment every once in a while called Padres Pen Pals, where people write in, ask Tony and Chris their questions. And one of the questions yesterday I found interesting was, which Padre has the most to prove in 2021? So we're asking you now, which Padre do you think?
Well, I think the easy answer might be Chris Paddock. That might be one of the obvious answers. I mean, is it the Chris Paddock of two seasons ago or last season? And I don't know that anyone's completely sure which Chris Paddock's going to come back this spring. But that's one that I think most people would pick. So I'll kind of go a different direction and maybe say Tommy Pham. The organization could have walked away from him at the non-tender deadline, and they didn't. And so they kind of banked on him. And given that his regular season was below expectations, admittedly his own expectations as well, even though those numbers rose and he heated up a bit in the playoffs. And then there was the offseason thing where he was stabbed and there were, all those things swirling. I think Tommy Pham feels like he has a lot to prove. And to be honest, I agree with him.
Bryce, I haven't talked about it in a little bit. Is there any update on the stadium? Where are we at with the soon to be football stadium for the Aztecs?
Well, I'm not the absolute expert on that, but I know part of the reason they went up to Dignity Health Sports Park, where the Chargers were playing, was to accelerate that plan to take down the old stadium, which is, if you drive by, if you're on the 15 and you look, you may be surprised how far along they are in terms of bringing the stadium down in pieces. I mean, this is, it's open on, I'm going to say, roughly a third of that side facing the 15 at this point. So they rolled the dice about being up in, during the pandemic, you couldn't have fans anyway, playing up there and trying to accelerate the plan. So what they've done is increase their chances to be on time and be ready to go, not this football season, but next one, in 2022.
Bryce Miller with us here, 97.3 The Fan. Bryce, the Farmers Insurance Open is coming next week, but we're not going to be able to see anything because the fans are not going to be available to attend at Torrey Pines, and it kind of bums me out a little bit because there's Insurance Open. It's one of my favorite things of the year, and I go as many years in a row that I can. But there is still a pretty strong field. I just don't want people to lose sight of this tournament in San Diego because no one's allowed to go. But with the amount of great golfers that are going to be playing in this tournament, do you still think there's going to be a little buzz around town?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to be covering it unless I win Mega Millions, and then that will change my plans to a large degree. But barring that, it's a good field. But you're right. The question is, if you can't attend it's kind of a social event, and it's way more than the golf. It's walking one of the most beautiful courses in America, and it's grabbing a drink, and it's grabbing some food, and it's watching, the blimp flying over, and it's the whole thing. And it's Tiger Woods, who's not going to be there this year. Maybe if you're going to pick a year not to do it, it's a pandemic year when fans can attend. But for golf purists, it's a great field. They've got 16 of the top 30 in the FedEx Cup point standings. I think 10 of the top 20 in the world golf rankings, and three of those are in the top six: John Rahm, Xander Schauffele, local guy, and Rory McIlroy. So there's plenty of talent. They've loaded the field. They got Brooks Koepka, somebody they wanted. Jordan Spieth is not always somebody you're going to get in that tournament. Phil Mickelson is back. So there are plenty of names, Bubba Watson, Jason Day, the list goes on and on. But so from a pure golf perspective, it's a great field, especially for early in the swing in the West Coast. But it's one of those that, you know, if you really are, if there's buzz, it's going to have to be watching it on TV, because you're right, there aren't going to be fans.
I just don't think the buzz is going to be there. But that's me. I'm the dark cloud of the show, so I usually try to break things down somehow.
I don't see you as the pessimist. Maybe I have this all wrong.
You might have it wrong. You might have it wrong.
Tony might have a different opinion. He's got to sit by.
Yeah,
all the
he
time,
does. But... he has to stick with me every single day.
Scraby usually has a bone to pick with everything.
Yeah, we're talking. Actually, yeah,
Bryce, have you been to a PGA Tour event since we've been in the pandemic era?
No, not then. No. You know, I've been to all the Farmers since I started working in San Diego, and I've been out to the desert a couple of times. But no, because last year, if you remember, the Farmers was one of the last events on the PGA Tour that still had fans before everything shut down. I think they went an event, maybe two after that, but at least one. So it was, for all intents and purposes, a normal Farmers Insurance Open, other than, and this is something I wrote for Sunday's paper, talking to Jim Nantz and Nick Faldo. The final day was the day we all found out that tragically Kobe Bryant had been in that helicopter crash.
That's right. I remember that.
So this is almost a year later to the day. It was January 26th. So I tried to talk to people who were front and center then on CBS a little bit about, you know, what that was like and adjusting on the fly. And that was a day that was surreal. One of the more surreal days in my career. Being on the course that day,
I totally forgot about that. And when you just said that, I just said all the memories flooding back, and Tiger Woods finding out after the round, and him saying that people were yelling in the gallery, "Do it for Kobe," and he had no idea what they were talking about, or "Do it for Mamba." That whole situation was just strange, and it seems like it was 10 years ago that happened.
Yeah,
and that's how the kind of pandemic distorts and twists time as we know it. Everything feels like 100 years ago, but that was almost a year ago as of the coming week with the Farmers Tournament, and what an incredibly memorable, sad, awful day. It was all those things, and so I worked on that for the Sunday's paper to kind of walk back through what that was like at Torrey Pines.
Well, I will be reading that on Sunday, and we're going to catch up with you next week as we have the Farmers Insurance Open to get your take on what's going on down there at the course.
Yeah, glad to do it anytime.
Is that the it? Is that where you're ending it, Scraby? Thanks for the cue there, pal.
I mean, I said 30 seconds left.
Bryce Miller just stopped talking. I looked at Scraby in the Zoom camera, and he's like looking up into thin air. So I didn't know that was the end of the interview. All right, we're just about out of time. Do you really want to play Dan Campbell and give him some of our valuable airtime? The new coach of the Detroit Lions today. He was pretty psychotically crazy in his debut press conference for the Lions.
He was, and here it is.
All right, and so this team's going to be built on. We're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down.
Okay, that's all I'm going to play.
Yeah, that's enough. Okay.
He's setting himself up to be a meme next year. He really is.
For sure. You know who he is? He's the guy. He's actually the guy who filled in as an interim head coach with the Miami Dolphins, right, Chris?
You know what? It was so memorable, I don't remember it.
But I believe that's happened, right? I
honestly don't even remember it.
Good luck to the Lions and their fans.
Yeah, have another great 6 or 7 years there, Detroit. All right, we are on our way out of here for a Thursday evening. Good show coming up on the station tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Jesse Agler will be among our guests tomorrow, so tune in 3 o'clock sharp. Tony, good chatting with you today, sir. Have a good evening.
You do the same.
Good luck to the Lakers down the stretch. They lead the Bucks in a tight game there in Milwaukee. So a 5-point game with a couple minutes to go. We'll keep an eye on that and talk about it tomorrow. Scraby, I'm Chris. Have a good night, everybody. So long.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.